But we are not going to wait for them for more than 2 minutes. So,
I'm fine when people are not asking.
So, okay, so I can see Anna and Jerome returning to the room. So, even if we are not yet, if not all people have returned from their coffee, we have to start because we are half an hour late. So, in this session, we have another two papers, and last session, discussion in the last session brought the colonial or global aspect of socialist realism, and this is what we are going to do, what we are going to discuss exactly. We are going to develop this topic in this session. And I'm going to introduce the first speaker, Emma Hanslíková. And Emma Hanslíková, she studied art history and sinology, which is significant, at the Faculty of Arts at Charles University in Prague. And she did her MA in art and theory at the Academy of Arts, Architecture and Design in Prague. Then she got scholarship to study in China, in Beijing and Hangzhou Art Academy, very interesting. And in 2016, I guess Emma got another MA. Am I right? Because you're postgraduate program. Okay, so something different, yes, in Asian, in SOAS, School of Oriental and African Studies. Pardon?
Just next to Birkbeck.
Just next to Birkbeck, that's right, yes. This is where my son studied as well. You know, so yeah. Until 2020, she was a chief curator in the new private art institution in Humpolet, which she actually co-founded herself in 2016. Obviously, her main interest is in Asian art and its connections to Europe. At the moment, she is a PhD candidate at the AAAD.
Can you? The same school, yeah. Academy of Applied Arts.
In Prague. And she also helps her family with book business in Meander Publishing House, specialized in children art books. So, Emma, the floor is yours.
Thank you for the introduction and for the invitation. We can start. So, my paper will focus on the rich and intensive cultural cooperation between two socialist countries, Czechoslovakia and People's Republic of China, during the 1950s period, which was built upon the diplomatic relationships established thanks to an advanced level of Czechoslovak sinology. It will examine the bilateral cultural relations between the Czechoslovakia and PRC to explore the ways in which both countries deepen their understanding of their respective cultures. More specifically, this presentation will trace this history from the founding of the PRC in 1949 until the breakup between the Soviet Union with its satellites and the PRC in 1959. This paper seeks to reveal exhibitions introducing Czechoslovak art to the Chinese audience or artists traveling to China. On these examples, I will try to show how the PRC as a country with a completely different artistic tradition was looking for new... yeah, I'm super fast. I'm sorry. So you just told me to speed up, so I'll slow down. I'll do the contrary.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think this is life.
I will conclude with book projects published by artistic and cultural delegations after they return to the homeland, which are tangible proof of vivid cultural exchange in both directions. Czechoslovakia, one of the smaller countries in the Eastern Bloc, was also one of the first countries in the world to have established diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China. These relationships were formed on October 4th, 1949, mere 3 days after Mao Zedong announced the establishment of a new state from the top of the Tiananmen Gate at the entrance of the Forbidden City. The victory of the Communist Revolution in China strengthened the position of the entire socialist camp and was of strategic importance for the Soviet bloc and its rivalry with the West. Even in Czechoslovakia, special attention was therefore paid to the cooperation with the PRC in the 1950s, which sparked intensive cultural exchange. Nevertheless, the fact that the new friendship could in many ways be built on interwar contacts, albeit on different political foundations at the time, also played an important role for Czechoslovak interests in China. At least since the beginning of the 20th century, there has been a strong tradition with a focus on Chinese culture and has persisted in Czechoslovakia with the arrival of the People's Democracy. The new politically motivated interest could easily take advantage of China's older positive image. In the cultural field, one could rely on translations of Chinese literature, poetry, or on the rich experience of Czech avant-garde artists and collectors who had expressed interest in Chinese art during the First Republic and the interwar period. These included Wojciech Chytil, Ludwik Kuba, or Emil Fila, to whom I will return later in my presentation. The reputation of Czechoslovak sinology also contributed to the interconnection of Czechoslovakia and the People's Republic of China. The field was formally founded at Charles University only in 1945, but its founder, Professor Jaroslav Průšek, already had a rich sinological experience and stayed in China in the early 30s, during which he became friends with important figures of Chinese culture. His book of observations, Sestra Moje China, My Sister China, was published in 1947 and in 2002 also translated into English. Another important, however accidental, opportunity for Průšek and Czechoslovak sinology was the hosting of the Chinese delegation traveling to the First World Peace Council Congress in Paris in the spring of 1949. However, the French authorities refused visas to Chinese delegates, including writer Guo Moruo, poet Ai Qing, who is the father of the artist Ai Weiwei, or painter Xu Peihong, among many others. And they had to hold the parallel congress in Prague. Shortly after Czechoslovakia officially showed respect for the newly established People's Republic in January 1950, the score and lyrics of the national anthem of the newly established country, together with the construction design of the flag, were delivered. The preparations of an intergovernmental cultural agreement, which was signed in May 1952, could begin. This smooth execution was initiated by Professor Průšek, who spent almost 5 months in China in 1950 as the head of the first Czechoslovak delegation. Once the rules of cultural exchange between the Czechoslovak Republic and the PRC were officially confirmed, quarterly reciprocal cultural relation plans were prepared. An agreement on translations of Czech and Chinese literary works was concluded, and the number of scholarships sent to universities was set. Both countries also exchanged several hundred meters of film news material each month and prepared music recordings for radio broadcasts in advance. Notably, the fine arts were accentuated in the area of cultural exchange. As evidenced by the history of local art collecting, the interest in Chinese fine art in Czechoslovakia in the early 50s had foundations to build on. The establishment of the collection of Oriental art at National Gallery in 1952 was supported by the regime in terms of, quote, progressing emancipation of the nations of the East. Therefore, at the official level of artistic political contacts, the emphasis was on political communication in the spirit of propaganda efforts, also known from the Soviet Union. Archival documents indicate that Czechoslovak art was to be exported to China and presented here mainly for Chinese colleagues to learn from our artists realistic oil painting and sculpture, some of the graphic techniques that are almost unknown in China, and possibly political caricature. Even though China had a long and admired tradition of painting, with the advent of the communist leadership, efforts grew stronger to refer not only to the past, but also to build the art of the new era. As Chinese professor of painting at the Central Art Academy Wang Xun stated, "The tradition of our painting is far too strong, far too perfect, far too mature. The tradition seems to be way too long and it is too much of it." In the early 1950s, the PRC became an ardent student of the Soviet Union. It took over technology, the system of social organizations, and much of its new ideology and propaganda, in which fine art, in the spirit of socialist realism, held an irreplaceable position. The terms for the organization of exchange exhibitions under the new Czechoslovak-Chinese Cultural Agreement also state that the exhibitions must support the building and creative efforts of the working people. In the decade from 1950 to 1960, 15 Czechoslovak exhibitions were held in Chinese cities, which in some cases, especially in the first half of the 1950s, aimed to establish and validate the path of socialist realism and promoted it in China. Apart from this main line, however, exhibitions presenting older art were also held. The large exhibition of Czechoslovak fine art with 400 exhibits opened in Nanjing on July 1, 1955, and was created by Jan Tomeš from the National Gallery. The exhibition sought to provide a comprehensive historical cross-section from the Gothic to the Baroque, the 19th century and up to present. One exhibition, which subsequently traveled to Shanghai and Beijing, focused mainly on the works of pioneers of realism of the first half of the 19th century and modern landscape artists. These artistic genres were accepted by the socialistic doctrine in the entire Eastern Bloc, and the exhibition was met with great interest with local visitors. From Tomáš's letter from November 8, 1955, which was addressed to Ministry of Culture in Prague, we can read that Chinese artists were especially interested in the, quote, question of classical tradition in connection to contemporary art forms, in China meaning the relationship of oil painting to traditional ink painting. He also mentions that it was difficult for Chinese audiences to grasp the themes of Czechoslovak painters, and they were in the first place keen on landscape painting, such as Václav Rabas or Vojtěch Sedláček. Surprisingly, among the realist or impressionistic oil paintings, we could also find very recent painting by Emil Fila from his cycle representing central Bohemian uplands dated to 1951. Although Emil Fila wasn't among the visiting artists invited to travel to China, he had a deep interest in non-European art and Asian art especially. Except his vast collection, which I have mentioned earlier in this paper, he was reading theoretical writings of Chinese painters, and he wrote a study on Chinese landscape painting, published in Volné směry magazine in 1947-48. He was also in charge of the translation and publication of the iconic book by Kurt Glasser, Art of China and Japan, in 1930, accompanied by photographs of objects from his own collection. Fila was teaching monumental painting at the Academy of Art and Architecture. He was strictly against the ideological paintings of socialist realism and tried to avoid this newly established direction of Czechoslovak art by creating new and original syntheses in the form of the elongated landscape painting painted in ink. As he said, quote, I use ink. It is also protest against the crap which is produced in our country. However, even these paintings were wrongly interpreted by the regime as first step towards today's realism. And we saw it earlier today in presentation of Professor Maria Klimešová, who showed some of the paintings inspired by the Chinese painting, which were based on some of the Chinese paintings owned by Fila in his collection. So I'm happy you showed it today, because I canceled it in my presentation. Just a few months earlier, an exhibition entitled 10 Years of Building Socialism in Czechoslovakia was held in Beijing in 1955 at the recently built Soviet Exhibition Center. It was the largest Czechoslovak exhibition abroad, surpassed only by Expo 1958 in Brussels. The core of the project, long in preparation, was the industrial exhibition. The section devoted to the history and culture of Czechoslovakia was treated only as a marginal but important appendix. The author of the concept and design for this part was Adolf Hofmeister, a key figure in mediating Chinese art to the Czech audience and vice versa. This exhibition was traveling as well and moved from Beijing to Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Nanjing. Both Czechoslovak and Chinese communist propaganda was looking for a way to show socialist realism. For one country, it was a new imported artistic doctrine. For the other, it was a proof of integration into a national cultural tradition. This project, closely observed at the time, represent the peak of Czechoslovak-Chinese cooperation with the climax in the year 1955. Over the next 5 years, the exhibition program prepared for the PRC became less ambitious, but also less political. Smaller projects devoted to Czechoslovak modern glass, photography, book illustration and puppetry were carried out. It's not possible to mention all exhibitions that took place in the biggest Chinese cities in the 1950s. However, the exhibition of Czechoslovak political cartoons, which took place in Beijing in 1952 and then in Shanghai, is worth noting. This exhibition was organized by the well-known Chinese cartoonist Mi Ku, founder of Shanghai's famous Manhua caricature magazine, which Adolf Hofmeister nicknamed as Czechoslovak caricature magazine Dikobraz, Porcupine. At the exhibition, 45 drawings were presented by Antonín Peltz and Leo Haas, thematically linked to China, Korea, and negatively also to the US. Some of the designs were converted to Chinese so that the local audience could get the message of a cartoon in which language is especially important. In the 1950s China, cartoon became a popular propaganda tool in print media as well as in poster production. As Antonín Peltz noted, quote, "In today's class struggle, the cartoonist becomes indispensable due to the essential function of his art." From the time of Peltz's later stay in Beijing in April and May 1955, the caricature of perhaps the most famous Chinese painter, Chi Paishi, made with the technique of Chinese ink painting, has been preserved. Despite this successful sketching quote, Chinese art had no major impact on Peltz's later work. In addition to the political propaganda role, the import of engaged caricature cartoons or graphic prints to China also played a didactic function. It was designed to serve as a model for Chinese cartoonists who knew the technique of revolutionary woodcut, but were still learning political caricature. While friendly Czechoslovakia boasted a long tradition of caricature, dating back to the 19th century. Already in the early 50s, Chinese artists knew Czech caricature from reproductions in newspapers and magazines. They were mainly interested in drawings by Josef Lada, František Kupka, but also by the aforementioned Antonín Peltz. In the meantime, the woodcut was used as a medium of revolutionary art form. Chinese woodcut was above all drawing inspiration from German and Mexican woodcuts, as stated by the writer and theoretician Lu Xun, who started the new woodcut movement in 1930, and the Academy of Arts established at the communist base in Yan'an to instruct artists in the art of propaganda bared his name. Woodblock prints were small, cheap, and easy to multiply. They substituted the by then non-existing monumental propaganda oil paintings, which started to appear in the PRC only in the end of Cultural Revolution. As I have already mentioned, Adolf Hofmeister played an important role in contacts with China. He was the author of the exhibition design for 10 Years Building of Socialism in Czechoslovakia, and his caricatures were exhibited in China at both aforementioned exhibitions of Czechoslovak art in 1955. Hofmeister's work aroused some controversy at the time, and it was originally unclear whether it would be presented in Beijing at all. The ambassador František Komzala commented at the time, Chinese people looked like monsters and monkeys in the works, and he feared how they would be perceived by the public and important figures of Chinese culture, end of quote. Chinese caricaturists from the Manhua magazine were also criticizing their Czech colleagues for painting, quote, Chinese people in a way they resemble Japanese, and rebuked them for, quote, not studying the appearance of Chinese men properly. But anyway, the exhibition was held without further disturbance. The exhibition projects in China also included accompanying lectures by Czechoslovak artists. After returning from their journeys, many of them published travel books, which contributed to the shaping Czechoslovak's general awareness about China, which for most people was still an exotic and inaccessible country. Their works are interesting because in addition to diary notes and observations about life in China and Chinese art, they are accompanied by pictures made during the travels. They also show the stigma of socialist ideology by interpreting Chinese ink paintings as, quote, poetic realism. In 1954, Adolf Hofmeister provided a detailed report on the cultural exchange and contacts between Chinese and Czechoslovak artists in the book Postcard from China, which also contains caricatures of prominent Chinese cultural figures. In the same year, Hofmeister also published a travelogue about Chinese painting with the Chinese name Kuo Hua, National Painting, where he focuses on various techniques and genres of folk art. The other book, Contemporary Chinese Art, is written as a diary study, utilizing the principles of a travelogue, but at the same time it provides information about Chinese art and is also valuable thanks to photographic documentation and pictorial supplement. Adolf Hofmeister claimed that the book was written to use the knowledge of Chinese art for the purpose of better understanding the problematics in our art. On the other hand, it meant he tried to interpret Chinese paintings under the influence of the official ideology as realistic and even, quote, materialistic, end quote, having patriotic relation towards depicting the reality. Although China itself didn't need to interpret the traditional ink painting in terms of new political dictate, and it was rather looking for completely new synthesis. The vocabulary used by Hofmeister to describe Chinese art is strongly influenced by the social realistic background. Another example of symptomatic interpretations was comparing the style of Song Dynasty painter Zhang Zetuan to Czechoslovak painter Josef Lada. In the first phase of Czechoslovak-Sino relationships, there were already few books dedicated to new Chinese art written by spouses Hrdličkovi. They both left for China in the first wave, with the official delegation already in the 1950s, and stayed in Beijing as cultural attaché until 1954. They were both very interested in Chinese art and art scene, and beside their art collection given to the National Gallery. They have also published two books on Chinese revolutionary woodcut and new Chinese painting as a medium of mass education. Other books, such as Chinese Art or the Art of Four Continents, written by Orientalist Lubor Hájek, became the main source of knowledge about Chinese art based on the Czechoslovak collections of Asian art from the National Gallery. The photos illustrating the books were taken by Forman brothers in a highly avant-garde style, contrast lighting and play of shadows, which was not typical for the scientific documentary photography at the time. They both traveled to China in 1955, commissioned by the Chinese government to photograph collections in the newly established Chinese museums. The figure of Lubor Hájek was one of the initiators to establish National Collection of Oriental Art in 1952, and his analysis of Chinese art was scientific without any forced interpretations to support the idea of socialistic doctrine. The art books were not the only publications devoted to China. Travelogues from China started simultaneously with the travels of numerous cultural delegations, including politics, writers, musicians, artists, or curators. Those travelogues by artists are great evidence of the diplomatic relations thanks to the fast sketches which could be found in their travel diaries. František Skála Sr., who visited China in 1952 and was a member of the Vít Nejedlý Army Art Ensemble, wrote China in a sketchbook. Book designer Zdeněk Seidl spent 3 months traveling in Chinese provinces with sculptor Vincent Zwingler and wrote a book called I Was in China. Painter Zdeněk Sklenář visited China in 1955. Although he didn't process his impressions from his stay in literature, his encounter with Chinese art had a permanent effect on his later work. The impact on Zdeněk Sklenář was probably the greatest of all the artists mentioned above. It is particularly apparent in his book illustrations, the most famous of which are probably those for the 16th century Chinese novel Monkey King, known as The Journey to the West by Ming Dynasty writer Wu Chang'an and translated by Czech sinologist Deňka Heřmanová, as well as in the painting cycles from the 1960s dedicated to the detailed observation of Chinese archaic characters on bronze vessels. Most of the artists who visited China during the short period of 10 years were presented at the exhibition China in the Pictures of Our Painters in 1959. To conclude, I hope I have outlined that the 1950s exhibitions devoted to Czechoslovak art and artists imported to the PRC undoubtedly prove an extraordinary stage in the history of the Czechoslovak-Chinese diplomatic relations. The cause of this intensity, however, lay outside the artistic field. It was one of the forms of efforts to include the People's Republic of China, a politically and economically extremely important state, among the countries of the socialist camp and confirm its political and cultural orientation towards the Eastern West. Foreign policy and economic interests played a major role, and fine arts had a significant ideological function in the fulfillment of these interests. Czechoslovakia was therefore put in a position of a role model in terms of artistic and technology development to re-educate the non-Western society so that they could be accepted among the advanced nations. These connections were not based only one direction. Czechoslovakia also got the advantage to discover in some way, tried to understand, another culture which was very distant. Czechoslovak artists traveling to China had a great advantage of seeing the artistic production before the arrival of Cultural Revolution, when Chinese artists, quote, haven't had socialistic eyes yet. For many Czechoslovak artists, it was a form of getaway from the situation at home where they, quote, clashed with ideological barriers and were under political pressure. China was unwilling to follow the Soviet model without reservations for long. After Stalin's cult was criticized at the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, Chinese ideas of the road to building socialism and its hegemon began to break with Soviet ones. And when the rift between the two communist parties culminated in the late 1950s and early 1960s, all cooperation between the Soviet bloc and China was suspended for a long time. The Czechoslovak-Chinese cooperation, including the cultural one, moved on a similar trajectory. In 1959, the dragon and the lion became alienated, and former brotherly cooperation was replaced by mutual hostility and disregard. In Czechoslovakia, in the words of sinologist Zbigniew Slupski, quote, the era of embarrassing silence and ridiculous concealment of all information related to China prevailed over many years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Very interesting new chapter in our. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for introducing us to an important aspect of the artistic exchange on a global scale between socialist realism in China and China.